Access Cast, an Accessibility initiative, presents Unstoppable Mindset, the podcast where inclusion, diversity, and the unexpected meet. Hi, I'm Michael Hinkson, Chief Vision Officer for Accessibility and the author of the number one New York Times bestselling book, Thunderdog, the story of a blind man, his guide dog, and the triumph of trust. Thanks for joining me on my podcast as we explore our own blinding fears of inclusion, unacceptance, and our resistance to change. We will discover the idea that no matter the situation or the people we encounter, our own fears and prejudices often are our strongest barriers to moving forward. The Unstoppable Mindset podcast is sponsored by Accessibility. That's ACCESSIBE. Visit www.accessibility.com to learn how you can make your website accessible for persons with disabilities and to help make the internet fully inclusive by the year 2025. Glad you dropped by. We're happy to meet you and to have you here with us. Well, hi, and welcome back to another episode of Unstoppable Mindset. Glad you're with us. Hope that you're having a good day wherever you are and with whatever you're doing. I want to tell you just briefly about Melissa Dealey, our guest today. So Melissa is an integrative health practitioner and health coach, and she's trained in NLP, we'll get to that, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy. That's a lot. That's a mouthful. And I won't go further than that because I'm going to let her tell the story. But I think you're going to find this an interesting episode. She has gone through some unexpected changes in her life, and we'll get to that as well. But for now, Melissa, welcome to Unstoppable Mindset. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, Michael. I'm excited to be here.
Tell me a little about kind of you early on growing up or whatever you want to talk about with regard to that.
Well, I'm going to actually not go back quite that young yet. I'm going to start 7 years ago.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, right?
There you go. That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
7 years ago is where I had that turning point, that unexpected turning point that you mentioned. And that was when Big Fish bought Little Fish, and the company I was working for was the Little Fish. And I'd worked there for 24 years. And one morning I was given an hour to clear out my desk and no word of thanks. And in that moment, I knew three things. I knew that I was never going to work for someone else again. Whatever I did next needed to be more of service to humanity and the planet, and that I had no idea what it was going to be that I would do next, but I was open to being guided. And later that year, I came across a company that specialized in brain supplementation. And I found that really interesting because I realized I use my brain 24/7. And no one's ever told me that I could be doing more to support my brain. And meanwhile, I was well aware that we had near epidemic levels of Alzheimer's and dementia on the one hand, but I also had a grandmother who was 99 years old, living at home by herself, fully cognitively functioning. And it made me think, well, how do I make sure I get on her path? Something inside me told me that just having good genes might not be enough. And I started thinking about her life compared to my life. And she was born in little old Christchurch, New Zealand, back in 1916 in the bottom corner of the earth, long before all the toxins we have in the world today, growing all their own food on the property. And I had the good fortune to be raised in Tokyo, Japan. And that was a wonderful childhood. And I know you've traveled there a couple of times. And it was in the 1970s, and we lived there for all up 11 years. And we were, unfortunately, at that time, spewing out toxins from manufacturing plants. And so it made me realize that I was much more toxic than my grandmother was, and that I was behind the eight ball if I wanted to get on my grandmother's path, which was to live you know, fully cognitively functioning right to the very end. And so that was an aha for me. I needed to do more for my health, for my brain. And I started learning about brain health. I started learning about toxins and how they impact the health of our body. And about 4 months later, my oldest daughter got a concussion in her first grade 12 soccer game of the season. And I started going to her appointments because A, I could, I wasn't working full time. And B, I realized she didn't have the cognitive function with a concussion to go to the appointment and then come home and tell me what the practitioner said she should do to advance her healing. And so I went with her. 2 months later, I was driving to Vancouver and I got a phone call from the high school asking me to go and pick up my younger daughter, who was in grade 8 at the time, because she had a suspected concussion from gym class. And in that moment, I looked out at the heavens above and I said, "Really? This is how you show me my path? Please stop taking out my children." So now I have two very different concussions in the house, and I'm going to two sets of appointments first to support both girls. And that was my next aha. What do other people do that don't conveniently have a mom who isn't working to go to all their appointments with them? And I realized there was a little bit of a gap in the medical model, in that people that are struggling with their health and struggling to recover from something need that extra support. The body doesn't heal in a stressed out state. And when we don't know what's going on and we don't know if we're doing things the right way, we're still in a stressed state when we're trying to figure it out on our own. But when we have that support, then we can relax into the process and be guided, and the body can start healing. So that was the start of my journey into health and wellness.
So one question before we go further, what were you doing for the company you worked for 24 years until you were laid off?
I was in sales. It was a hotel company, Delta Hotels, which is a Canadian hotel brand. We had over 40 hotels across the country, and I worked for national sales, and I was bringing in Asian tourists from all over Asia because, of course, having grown up in Japan, I do speak Japanese, and I was in charge of all of our Asian business across the country.
So the reason I asked that is what you just described and the journey that you started going through took a lot of self-analysis, a lot of looking at you and exploring some options and so on. What I'm curious about is, how did you get to the point in your psyche, in your world, where you were able to do that? A lot of people, when something like what you just described happens to them, aren't able to move forward and just are struggling with, oh my gosh, how am I going to go anywhere from here? And I can't do that. I don't know what to do. And I'm not saying you didn't go through some of that, although you can say whether you did or not. But still, what is it that made you be able to analyze and start down the road you did?
Well, I had the good fortune of already having been introduced to personal growth work before I was let go from my corporate job. And it wasn't introduced to me through my corporate world, but through my personal life. Mm-hmm. One of the books that I had read was by Carol Dweck, The Mindset, all about the growth mindset and the closed mindset. And I really enjoyed that book. And I also have the good benefit of having a mother who always taught me to look at the positives, and that when every door closes, another door opens. And so when this happened, yes, there were tears. There was that sense of, why aren't I good enough? Because some salespeople were kept on, not very many, some were, but you start questioning yourself, why wasn't I the one that was kept on? Why aren't I good enough? But I realized going down that path wasn't going to serve me. And I needed to recognize that in reality, things always happen for us and not to us. And when we can approach life from that perspective, it allows us to release some of the stress and the turmoil and the beating ourselves up, and to instead look at what benefit can come out of this. And I decided to look at this as an opportunity to do something completely different with my life for the second half of my career, as I called it, than what I had done before. And I was also in a place where if I took on that mindset, I really didn't have any option to do anything different because I am in a small town. And if I stayed in hotels, I would have taken my career backwards 10 plus years. And I would have ended up working for a single hotel instead of the entire brand. And I simply wasn't interested in that. So I had to look at what are the opportunities. And once I was let go, I had a lot more time on my hands. So I was able to dive into that personal growth experience even more. And I read a lot of books and learned a lot about myself, like you said, journaling and diving deep and who am I and what do I want to do and what do I want my legacy to be and how can I make the world a better place?
I'm curious, from a sales standpoint, what is your philosophy of sales? What was your philosophy and has it changed at all with all that has happened in the last 7 years?
So my philosophy, I don't think it's changed in those last 7 years. So I come from a numbers background as well. I have a commerce degree and I was in accounting before I ever got into sales, which I know that in and of itself is a bit of an anomaly. But when I was working with my clients, I always was putting myself in their shoes. How could I serve them? And how can we come together? How can I serve them while serving me, you know, our interests, the hotel interests as well? But also in the negotiation piece, because I have that numbers background, I relied on those numbers and I would show them their numbers, right? And once we had the numbers on the table and I made my proposal, they really didn't have a place to argue back and forth one way or the other and, you know, make it a whole elongated process. And I found that to be very, very effective. But I was always wanting to come at it where I would listen to them and understand what their needs were and try to meet their needs to the best of my ability while also looking after the needs of the whole club.
And that was, in a sense, really why I was asking the question, because I know that when I was suddenly thrust into the need to make a decision, do I want to go into sales or look for a job elsewhere, which did happen to me. I was doing some human factors studies and other things at the time and literally unexpectedly was told that I would be let go or I could go into sales. Mm-hmm. And as I love to tell people, I took a micro nanosecond to make the decision that I'd lower my standards and go into sales from science.
Right.
But the reality is that as I went into sales and I took Dale Carnegie sales courses and other things, what I was taught was that good salespeople look at the situations that they're going into with different customers. They look at the customer's needs. They listen most of all to the customer. Mm-hmm. And ultimately it comes down to, you can't sell the customer anything. They have to want to buy. And your job is to be a counselor and a person to guide them. And the good salespeople do that.
I 100% agree with that. And that was my kind of, you know, natural innate approach. And you asked me, has it changed in the last 7 years? And I would say no, because I still need to listen to my customers' needs. We're talking about their health. I want to understand their health goals. I want to understand if I'm even the right person to be working with them, right? And that they need to buy. They need to be ready to invest in themselves, their own self-worth and their health before I can even work with them, right? Because I don't do the work for them. I guide them. They still have to be willing to do the work.
And that's as true in a straightforward regular sales job as it is in the kind of coaching and the teaching that you do today. And that's exactly the point. But it means that you need to dig and learn and understand and analyze as you go along. And that also means that you have to look at you as you're working with any customer in sales or whatever you're doing to make sure that I'm really doing the best thing for my customer or my client, and I'm listening to them. And my position, even in a regular sales opportunity, is I hope that even when I'm successful at selling, I learn more from my customers than they learn from me, because everyone is different. And I believe that every customer has a lot to teach the salespeople with whom they work.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And I would say the one difference between selling in my corporate world and selling now is there's two. Selling in the corporate world, I was selling a product, but I was also selling on behalf of someone else. Now I'm selling a service, and really I'm selling myself, right? They're not buying my program. They're buying what I can do for them through that program. And so I did have to get comfortable with selling myself, because that was different to selling on behalf of someone else.
Except,
but you're absolutely right. I have to listen, and I learn from my clients as much as they learn from me, if not more.
Except I think ultimately, even in sales, yes, you want your customers to buy a product. But in reality, when you are working with a customer in sales, what are you selling? Are you selling the product, or are you selling yourself because you're the teacher and the guidance, the guide or and the counselor? I once interviewed someone. He was my best sales guy. And whenever I hired a salesperson, I always asked, what are you going to be selling for me? Because I wanted to see how they would respond. And usually people said, well, we're going to sell your products, your CAD system, or later it was tape backup systems, and this is what they do. When I asked this particular person, his name is Kevin still.
Yes.
When I asked Kevin, what are you going to be selling for me? He said, the only thing that I really have to sell is myself and my word. Products are stuff. And ultimately, they're going to buy from me if they trust me. And I have to demonstrate to them my knowledge, my understanding of what they need, and sell them on the fact that my word is my bond. And I expect that you would have to back me up on that, but everything else is stuff. And I still subscribe to that, that the products aren't really what you're selling, even in the most basic used car, new car, or in a clothing store stuff. Ultimately, they're going to mostly buy from you because you have gained their trust, which means you've sold yourself.
Right. And I agree with that, actually. And that's very true. And it's good for you to point that out, because you're right. I still have relationships with those clients to this day because of the strength of the relationships that we built over all of those years and their trust in me. And it was always their choice to work with me versus someone else. You know, they had that choice to make because we weren't the only hotel in town, right?
Yeah, it is really ultimately all about us. And when we have that kind of mindset, what we are really doing is adopting a mindset of ongoing analysis. And that is, of course, what you really did. And I think that that's really important, because you are very much involved in analysis. You analyzed a lot of things after you were let go. And so you went into a different kind of sales after September 11th, when I was selling for a computer company. And then people started calling and saying, would you come and tell your story and tell us what we should learn about September 11th? Ultimately, what I realized was that I had the opportunity to sell something a whole lot more basic than computer hardware, and helping people, which was still a good thing, but helping people make sure their data was secure and stored and handled okay. But rather, now I got to sell attitudes. I got to sell a whole different kind of concept of being prepared to deal with emergencies, understanding that blindness isn't the so-called disability that they think it is, and
right.
teaching people to have attitudes that say, I can do more than I thought I could.
Yep.
And then that really is as good as it gets.
Yeah, I love that. And that's such a positive message that you were able to share out of something that was so horrific, right?
Right. So you went off and you did a lot of analysis and you had two daughters who had concussions, but obviously also proved that as a result, they had hard heads, right?
Yes. And the good news is they have both recovered, fully recovered.
Which is a good thing.
Yes. But,
so how did you then actually end up being a coach and a healing practitioner and so on?
Yeah. So after I realized there was this gap in the model and it made me wonder what other people did, I actually had people start contacting me because it is a small town and they knew our story. How often does one household have two concussions, right? And they were calling me and saying, oh, my husband got a concussion. What do I do? Or I have employers calling me saying, I have an employee with a concussion. How do I bring them back to work? And around the same time, a holistic clinic was opening and I was invited to work in the clinic to help other people that were struggling with concussions recover and bring that nutritional piece to it that wasn't being addressed by other practitioners, because we have many experts in town when it comes to concussion. But I couldn't get liability insurance to work there because I didn't have any certifications. So I, again, had to decide, do I want to go down this path or not? And I decided that I did, but now I need to get a certification. So I'm thinking life coach, because that had been bouncing around in the back of my head ever since I'd been let go, but it hadn't landed. And I thought, okay, well, now I guess this is the time I need to do this. And I called a friend who was a life coach and said, hey, you're a life coach. Where did you do your training? I need to train to become a life coach. And he said, you don't need to be a life coach. You need to be a health coach. And I went, what? What's that? I'd never even heard the term health coach before. And I felt like that was just another, you know, drop from the universe for me as it directed my path. And I started searching health coaching courses online. I found one that I absolutely aligned with. And within 10 days, I started that training. And from the moment I started that training, I knew I had landed in my passion. I couldn't get enough of it. I just wanted to study more and more and more. And I started learning things, going, wow, how come I never knew that about my own body? And then why hasn't somebody ever told me this before? And I realized that after all those years in the corporate world and raising kids and being a wife, that I just hadn't had time or then the inclination to do extra learning on my health. And if I didn't know this stuff, there was probably millions of other people out there that didn't know it either. And that maybe I should be making health information more accessible for people. So that was one idea that kind of came out of that. And as I went through my health coaching, I did my life coaching, but didn't enjoy it as much. I definitely stuck with the health coaching. Then I came across the Integrative Health Practitioner Organization. And I love that because now we're using the science of functional medicine labs to understand what's going on inside the body. Because people don't know. We obviously can't see inside our body, right? But our body is always trying to work for us, despite what we might be doing to it. But when it's out of balance, that's when we start to have, you know, sickness and disease set in, or maybe it's, you know, weight gain, et cetera, et cetera. When we know what's going on, when we know where the imbalances are, we can guide the body back into balance by supporting the deficiencies, by releasing the toxins, because unfortunately we do live in a toxic world, as I learned when I was thinking about myself versus my grandmother, and bring the body back into balance. And when we do that, the body takes over and heals itself because that's what it's designed to do. And so that's the work that I've done for the last 3 years now, is helping people understand the imbalances in their physical body and how we bring that back into balance. And our modern world has us out of balance because of poor sleep, poor nutrition, and high stress. Those are the three big factors.
You have talked about the idea of overflowing trash cans and detoxing. Can you, or would you please talk to us about that, what that means, why it's important, and what the significance of all that is?
Sure. So I liken our liver and kidneys to the trash cans of our body. They are our detox systems and try to help us get the toxins out. It's just like overflowing trash cans that you see in a city park, right? The reason our trash cans inside our body are overflowing is because since World War II, we have had 144,000 man-made chemicals introduced into our environment that are getting inside our body through our waterways, airways. We put them on our skin through personal care products we use. They're getting into our body through our food because of pesticides and herbicides, etc. And as a result, our liver is overloaded and undernourished is what I like to say. So all of these factors that our liver is trying to deal with, it's tasked with keeping our body clean, cleansing our blood every 6 minutes, but it was never designed to have to deal with this overload. And at the same time, we have nutrient deplete soil systems as a result of industrial agriculture and take from the land without allowing the land to rejuvenate the nutrients. And if the nutrients aren't in the soil, they don't grow into our food, then we're not getting them into our body. So our liver is undernourished and overburdened. And as a result, our bodies are struggling with a myriad of symptoms that people are very quick to accept as aging, as seasonal allergies, as genetics. And the reality is all the chronic illness that we have in the world today, so much of it we don't need to have if people understood the importance of detoxing and helping their body release these toxins.
So we live in a world where, at least from my standpoint, I love drinking water. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't, they drink other things. And, you know, there's something to be said for bourbon, but by the same token, we're talking about water.
Yeah.
So how do I deal with that? Because, if we're drinking tap water, as you said, there are chemicals introduced. So what do you advise people just to make sure that they always have good glasses of water?
Get a good filtration system in the house. That's the best way. You want to really ensure that you're getting a filtration system that is actually getting out a lot of the heavy metal toxins, some of which are naturally coming into our water just from water coming down mountains and rocks, etc., as well as the chemical toxins. Berkey filters can be quite good. The Brita filters are pretty useless. They don't do much.
And they don't taste that good.
Or an actual filtration system. That honestly is the best thing. And then also to recognize that we can't avoid the toxins anymore in this day and age, but you can choose to do something about them. And that's why I run guided detox programs for people, to teach people how to safely detox in a way that's easy. I provide all the recipes. They're delicious. And, you know, people don't have to take vacation to do a detox. They can do it in their regular everyday life. And it's interesting because in Ayurvedic medicine, which goes back 6,000 years, they still promote detoxification to this day. Latin American medicine, same thing. Asian culture still detox to this day. It's only in the Western world where it's been forgotten and we're told just have a shower or a bath and wash your outer body. And that's enough for good health and good hygiene. But we're completely ignoring our inner body. And we do have to look after our inner body. Because as Hippocrates said thousands of years ago, all disease starts in the gut. When we look after the gut, we're boosting our immune system because 70% of our immune system is in our gut. Our liver and kidneys are part of our gut. And what we know today through the science of epigenetics is that we have so much more control over our health outcomes than we were led to believe. It used to be that if your parents had such and such a disease, that you'd be told you would get it too because of the genetics. But the genetics are actually only 5 to 10% of the equation. And the other 90 to 95% is actually the lifestyle that you live and what you're putting into your body and how you're looking after your inner body. And when you keep your inner body clean and you're improving lifestyle habits, that's when you are shifting your health outcomes. And that's where we can eliminate chronic illness.
So how do we go about detoxing, doing detoxification?
So the way that I teach it is it includes putting the body into a state of something called autophagy, which is, I just call it deep cleaning. And that's fasting. So we use a powdered shake, which has all the vitamins and minerals that the body needs in it to be supported and nourished while we don't eat any real food. And so what that allows the body to do is start cleaning house. You see, every time we put food in our mouth, that turns on digestion. And because we need to eat to live, digestion trumps the other system, right? But if we stop for long enough and don't put food in, and instead we have a shake with the vitamins and minerals in it, and it's very diluted, and we sip it slowly so that in sipping it, the body can absorb it easily without turning on digestion, we allow the body to go into deep cleaning mode. And the longer we're in it, the more it can do. So after about 12 hours, we're in the state of autophagy. And then 24 hours, now we're starting to clear up dead cells and damaged cells. And sorry, at 12 hours, and we're getting rid of toxins, right? Then we're getting rid of dead cells and damaged cells. After 36 hours, now we have the human growth hormone kicking in and starting to regenerate new, young, vibrant cells, which give us new vitality and new energy. And then after, on day three, now we start having some meals. We're spacing our meals apart, though, so that we can eat the meal and have time for digestion, have time for cleaning before we eat the next meal, instead of just grazing all day long, which has become a real problem through COVID and everybody at home and the refrigerator's just there. And we just continue to eat and the body never gets a chance to get into any deep cleaning. And so it can't do the extra work that's needed to help support the liver and the kidneys. And then we use some supplements as well to support the liver and kidneys too.
So how do you respond to, or what would you say about, products like Nutrisystems, where when you're trying to lose weight, they have a lot of special food and they suggest that you eat a number of small meals every day and shakes, but that what you're doing is you're changing your metabolism. Is that something that's totally contra to what you talk about during the whole ongoing detox process, or does it sort of coexist, or how does that work?
Well, I'm not familiar with their program per se. We do need to change people's metabolisms when they're trying to lose weight. And it depends where each individual is at in that journey. Some people, when they're trying to lose weight, have been, you know, roller coaster or yo-yo dieting for years and years. And all they know how to do is eat fewer calories and eat fewer calories and eat fewer calories. But while that might sound like it makes sense, if I eat less, I should lose weight, the body is designed to protect itself and the body doesn't want you to starve it, right? And so as you start lowering your calories lower and lower and lower, people will often find, well, I'm not losing weight anymore. And the reason is because the body is now holding on to every little bit of morsel of food that you're putting in, not knowing when the next morsel is going to come, and it doesn't want to starve. And so it's slowing down the metabolism in order to have you try to feel satiated for longer, right? And to protect itself from starvation and take longer to break down that meal. Well, we need to actually be speeding up the metabolism and getting you moving in order to have you actually lose weight. So again, it's kind of counterintuitive for people. And if they're coming from that place, then having smaller meals more often might make sense. But
if it's really doing the job of helping to increase your metabolism.
Exactly. And
I'm not either yet, but I'm starting to learn about it, but it makes sense. If it changes the metabolism, clearly, that's a good thing.
There are. Yes, there's other ways we can be changing metabolism as well, though, that I would be going to first.
Yeah, so. Understand. But it is all about changing habits. It's all about changing mindsets, and Definitely. It's all about giving the body what it really needs. And you know, the things that you are saying are not magic. I have heard them many times before. I know Karen and I try to eat in a very healthy way. So mm-hmm. we don't eat a lot of fried foods. We don't try to eat any more foods with chemicals than we have to. We get food, we get meats and so on from sources where there are not preservatives introduced and things like that. Although I'm sure that there are still some chemicals that exist, but still it's, mm-hmm. we do have to eat better. So chips aren't necessary every day.
Correct. And I love what you're saying is you're trying to make those healthy choices, but you're also recognizing that you can't do it 100%. So we do the best we can, and then we support the body in helping it to detox to get rid of the rest. And you're right, chips aren't needed every single day. I teach the 80-20 rule, right? So when people have finished their detox with me, I teach them how not to retox after the detox, because that's obviously a really important step if they've done all of this work, right? And they're feeling good. They don't want to go back to feeling the way they used to feel. And I teach them to make it a lifestyle, because you can't just do one detox in your life and think you're good to go. It's, you know, do a 21-day detox to start, but quarterly do a 7-day detox, because the toxins are always coming in and you need to keep always getting them out, right? And in between, we're living by the 80-20 rule, where 80% of the time you're choosing to eat in a way that nourishes and serves your body. And 20% of the time, okay, maybe that's not the best choice for your health, but you're out with friends or it's someone's birthday and you're celebrating with cake, or you're watching a hockey game and there's chips, whatever it is. You can plan around that in your week, because you know when you're going to have social things and you don't have control over your food. And then you know when you're at home and you do have control over your food. And when we eat 80% of the time really well, and only 20% of the time we're not eating well, the body can cope with that. And it's not causing undue inflammation on the body and undue breakdown, et cetera, of cells and, you know, causing ill health. But when we do it the other way around, and 20% of the time we're eating well and 80% of the time we're not, and we're living at fast food joints, et cetera, that is where we're going to, you know, cause the body to break down.
There is something to be said for the concept of Girl Scout cookie thin mints, however. And we buy to support the Girl Scouts, but I put them in the freezer. I usually like to buy a case at a time, which is 12 boxes.
Yeah.
This year, somehow accidentally, when the order came, it was 2 cases, which is worse. But unfortunately for the Girl Scouts, being in the freezer and out of sight, those 2 cases will probably last us 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And it really is a treat to eat them. Both of us, fortunately, are not snackers, which is great.
Right.
So we eat, and we eat dinner, and that's basically it. And we sometimes will have dessert and sometimes not. But at the same time, you're right. 80% of the time, we should really be eating as healthy as we can, and we should be working in a way to keep our systems as free from chemicals and so on as possible. And for us, even 20% is probably high of the other, which is great.
Right. And so a couple of things that you've said there, you know, not eating after dinner is really beneficial for the body as well, because that allows digestion to be completed before you go to bed. Ideally, we want to finish dinner 2 to 3 hours before we go to bed. Because when digestion has finished before we go to bed, then the body, when you fall asleep, can start detoxing. And that's when the body is designed to detox, is overnight. But if the body's still in digestion mode because you ate and then went to bed, like within half an hour, the body's too busy digesting to start detoxing. So you're not getting the same window of detoxing happening overnight. Plus, you're not sleeping as well when the body's still in digestion mode, right? Because that uses energy too. So I just wanted to share that with you. So yeah, keep that up. And then also your comment about Girl Scout Thin Mint cookies. I know them very well because I'm a Girl Guide leader here in Canada, have been for 17 years now. Both my daughters have funded trips to New York City, to Europe by selling Girl Guide cookies, among other things.
Good
and for them. And so it's interesting because they're in the freezer. They are absolutely delicious. And sometimes when people are buying them, my daughters would give them tips on how to best enjoy them. And we would always be saying, put them in the freezer. Maybe you crush them up and serve them over ice cream. I know Dairy Queen here, the owners had a daughter in Girl Scouts or Girl Guides. And so at one point they were serving Girl Guide cookie, Dairy Queen ice cream sundaes and things. But they were something that I enjoyed, but I also had them in the freezer. So they were out of sight, out of mind. And we didn't buy a case, we'd buy a box or two, but they would last a long time. And they were very much a treat.
But we buy a case because we can afford to do that for the last couple of years. And so it's supporting the girls and they want to do that too. So,
yeah, and that's awesome. And you have many more flavors than we do. You've got like 12 flavors in the States. We just have the mint slices. And then we have the chocolate and vanilla creams in the spring.
We get pretty fixated on the thin mints. And so that's what we buy.
You have like 12 flavors there, but just back to our conversation on sales. Yeah. I just want to say that my younger daughter in particular has developed, she's now at university, but she has developed incredible sales skills because of all of those years of selling Girl Guide cookies. And my older daughter did a really good job with it as well. And she, what I found with her is she got really strategic at the age of 5. And she'd figure out, if I stand outside this store right in front of the exit, so the people can't actually go left or right and they have to listen to me, I increase my sales.
We have a market near us, and when you go into the market, there's an entryway, and you go into this little kind of area where the carts are stored and so on. Mm-hmm. And then you go into the store, and the girls have very strategically put themselves right between the two doors.
Right.
So you can't miss them.
Right.
And then the really smart ones have learned to say things like, I would really appreciate it if you would buy a box or whatever of cookies, as opposed to, would you buy a box of cookies? Because the typical answer is going to be no, but it is a lot harder, rightfully so, to resist I would appreciate it if you would.
Right.
Sales tip for all the girls listening out there for next year.
Exactly. One time when my daughter really surprised me was somebody came along and she was outside a store and she had her camp blanket over a shopping basket and all the boxes of cookies decorated on top. And they said, oh, no, I don't want any cookies. I've bought too many already. I've eaten too many. And when that lady came back out of the store, my daughter said to her, I know that you said you've eaten too many, but how much would your colleagues love it if you took some cookies to work with you tomorrow?
There you are.
And the lady bought cookies. And then my daughter went on and said, and probably you have some neighbors that would love a gift of a box of cookies. And so she ended up walking away with several boxes of cookies after that. So I thought that was brilliant. She came up with it on her own. I was just standing there for moral support. So as I said, selling cookies teaches these girls, a lot. And as we discussed at the very beginning, we are always selling no matter what stage of life we're in. And so it's a very foundational skill that they're learning.
So tell me a little bit more about detox programs. You have detox programs, and I believe that you can go to the store and other places and buy detox programs. How are yours different? How did you get into that, or where do you get them from? Love to know more.
Yeah, so my detox programs are created by a naturopathic doctor, my mentor, who I did my integrative health practitioner training through. And they're based on exactly what our physical body needs, understanding the fact that we have overburdened and undernourished liver and kidneys. Whereas the programs that you buy in stores, very often it's a detox tea, or it might be just a you know, generic detox program that if you think of an overflowing trash can, they might scrape off the amount that's overflowing, but not actually empty the trash can. Whereas the program that I offer is literally picking up that trash can and emptying it. And it's also guided because it's very individual. And so I put clients on an app so that they can track how they're doing. All of that information flows through to me so I can support them if they're struggling. I can cheer those on that are doing well. They have the ability to ask questions of me throughout. I provide recipes because I want my clients to have that kind of success. And they get that by being supported. When you go and buy a program at the store, you don't have that support. You have to, you know, do it yourself. And how often do we give up on ourselves, right? Yeah. We don't give up on other people, but we tend to give up on ourselves. So that's the main difference, is the accountability piece, the support, the guidance to customize it for each individual because they're coming to it from a different place of health, as well as the fact that it's created by a medical doctor who studied Ayurvedic medicine, Chinese traditional medicine, and naturopathic medicine, and taken the best of that to create this program.
Of course, a question that one would think of is, well, gee, this must be pretty expensive. How much does it cost? I mean, obviously, no price is too high when you're truly trying to take care of your body, but economics are economics.
Exactly. So what is your health worth to you, right? So the detox kit itself is $269 for the 3 weeks. That's not per week, that's for the 3 weeks. And for six of those days, you're not eating any food. So you're saving on your grocery bill. So pretty reasonable price for a 3 week period. And then it depends whether people want to work with me in a group program or a one-to-one program as to what price point they pay for my services. And as you said, what it comes down to is what is your health worth to you? And while it might be a stretch for some people when they start out working with me, by the time that they're through the detox program, they are so ecstatic by the results they've had, how much better they're feeling, that they're telling me that I should be charging three times what I'm charging. So
I will also bet that for those who are interested in it and are concerned about doing it, you will also lose weight from it, or most likely you will.
You will. It starts the weight loss process for people in a really healthy, natural way, because those toxins weigh something. And at the same time, I'm teaching about digestion. I'm teaching about eating the right way for your body and understanding nutritional myths and supplements. I'm teaching about sugar, where it's sneaking into your diet, et cetera, et cetera. And then, as I said, how not to retox after your detox. So it starts the weight loss journey that people then have the skills and the ability to maintain beyond the end of the program. And I put them into a detox grad membership program for people that do my group program with me and get all of this learning so that they can have monthly calls with me just to get their questions answered. And there's no charge for that. It's because I want to allow them to continue stepping into this choice of living healthy and improving their health and be connected to a community of like-minded people.
What do you like best about what you're doing now? You obviously are very enthused about it. What really stands out to you about what you're doing now?
I absolutely love seeing the results my clients get. It is so fulfilling for me, and it brings me such joy. Whether it's detox clients that are ecstatic, that their, you know, long-standing pain has gone away, that they're sleeping like they've never slept before, they wake up with energy. Like, all of those are big wins for people in our busy life, right? To, you know, recently I had a client who suffered from chronic fatigue syndrome for 40 years. And tried to get help from various doctors along the way, and then was referred to me by a mutual friend. And I suggested we run lab tests and see, you know, where her imbalances were. And she did that because she'd never been offered that before. And I suspected that there was probably some heavy metal toxin issues going on. And sure enough, there were. And we started resolving that right away. I could see where her mitochondria levels were at. You know, there are energy powerhouses. If they're not functioning properly, it's hard to have energy. So we're able to support that. I could see where her cortisol levels were and why she was sleeping at such odd hours. Not to mention something as simple as blue light blocking glasses helped her sleep better. So all of these things that we implemented together, just within 2 weeks of her starting my wellness protocol, she messaged me and said, "I can't remember feeling this good. You've just given me 40 years of my life back. And I spent the last 3 days sewing a new quilt and pillowcases for our bed. And I worked 9 and 10 hour days. And I haven't been able to do that in 40 years. And messages like that just melt my heart, because I love those stories.
Well, you mentioned lab tests. So how does that work? Because you do everything virtually, right?
I do. And so the lab tests get mailed to people's homes with the instructions on how to complete them. And then they mail them back to the labs and I get the results and we review the results over Zoom and I write the wellness protocol for you. And I continue with a minimum of 3 follow-up sessions. So we never just do one session. Again, that was a little bit of a gap in the market that I saw. It's great for people to be told what to do, but then do they actually go and do it, right? Sometimes we already know what we need to do and we're not doing it. So by having multiple follow-up sessions, people are much more inclined to actually take action, follow the protocols. They know they can check in with me in between if they have questions, et cetera. And again, that support keeps people on track and gets them the results they're looking for.
So do you ever tell people to get the lab tests and to do it right, go to the doctor's office? Are your tests the same? Are they different or what?
They're different. So the regular medical doctors don't have access to these. These are functional medicine lab tests. And I don't ever send anybody to a clinic. They literally get mailed to their home and they're either a urine test, saliva test, blood test, or clipping of hair from the nape of the neck. And the blood test isn't a blood draw like you do at the doctor's office. It's literally prick your finger and then let drops of blood fall down onto a card. And then you let the card dry and you mail that off to the lab. So it's very easy for people to do their own labs at home. And they get very different information to what they've ever seen before. So they're powerful labs.
Which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in terms of some of the information that people can get, as I said, we can assess for heavy metal toxins in the body. We can assess for mineral levels in the body, which is really important because in our stressed out world, we burn through our minerals when we are under stress and then we become deficient. And then the body is, you know, out of balance and can't bring itself back, as we talked about earlier. And it also shows our mineral imbalances. So not only do we need to be deficient across the board with our minerals, but they need to be in balance with each other. There's another lab that shows if we have candida or bacterial overgrowth in our gut, mold or fungus, and it shows our neurotransmitter levels because of the gut-brain connection. It shows our vitamin levels. Another lab shows our inflammation levels. People know or have heard that inflammation is the trigger of disease. It's not the root cause. The root cause triggers that inflammation. And then that ongoing inflammation can trigger cells to turn on disease. But this test will assess our inflammation levels. So we know what's our risk and can we bring our inflammation levels down? And when we know what they are, we absolutely can do that. Another lab looks at all of our hormones. Very, very important. Our sex hormones, our cortisol levels, our thyroid, insulin levels, vitamin D. And they're all interconnected. So having all of that in one lab is very powerful. And we can do food sensitivity labs. And then we can also do stool labs looking for parasites, H. pylori, and all that kind of fun stuff that people don't want to talk about or know about. But they're a reality, even in North America. They're not just developing country problems.
The idea of doing a lot of these tests certainly must give you absolutely quantifiable information then. As you pointed out earlier, you're a numbers person. So that probably gives you a good base then for helping people understand what they really need to do. And I would assume that for the most part, people accept that unless they're just incredibly skeptical and don't trust anything.
usually those people don't buy the labs in the first place. And I've had some of those people and they question it and they go to their doctor and their doctor will tell them that there's no validity in any of those labs. And that's fine. Like, I'm not holding a gun to anybody's head, but for the people that are looking for answers or that really want to prioritize their health, that, you know, I always offer a discovery call to understand what their goals are. And I can show them what the lab results look like so they can get an idea of what they're going to get. And when people jump in and do the labs, they're excited to get their results. And most of the time, they're also excited to take action because they want to feel better. And they've already done their detox with me at that point because I start everybody with a detox. And they already know they're feeling better. And now they just want to continue that journey. And the reason I start everyone with a detox is A, the reality we live in a toxic world, and B, there's no point me giving someone a healing protocol where they haven't done the detox and cleared out their pathways, because the healing protocol isn't all going to get to the cells that need it. If we clear out the pathways, it will, and then they get much faster results. It's kind of like that overflowing trash can again. Yeah. If you stick an apple on the top, it's healthy, and you want it to get down inside the trash can. If you put it on the top of an overflowing trash can, it doesn't go down inside. It just falls on the ground on the side. It doesn't get where we want it to go.
And you're really in our body. You're really passionate about what you do. Were you ever this passionate when you had a career working in the hotel industry and so on?
You know what? I absolutely loved that career as well. But it was a different kind of passion. And this passion that I have now about what I do is far greater simply because there is more fulfillment from it, because I am changing lives. I am helping, you know, make the world a better place.
So what would you say to people that have encountered an unexpected thing in their life, a change, some experience that they didn't expect? What would you say to help them become more of a mindset of feeling unstoppable and being able to move on?
I would definitely encourage them to step back and to, as hard as it is in the moment, to just keep reminding yourself, everything happens for us, not to us. And as I walk this path, that will become apparent to me as to why this has happened. I don't know the answer right now, but to know that there's a reason, but when I look back with 2020 hindsight, I'm going to actually appreciate that this happened. And when we can bring ourselves into that headspace, we can release the regret. We can release beating ourselves up. We can release the sadness and the anger. And we get to move forward as opposed to staying stuck in our misery.
One of the things that I would add, I think the one major thing I would add to that is, when something unexpected happens, we worry about all sorts of things. We sometimes let our mind go in different directions. And I advise people, don't worry about the things that you can't control. It will only stress you out. Focus on the things you can, and the rest will take care of itself. And if you read Thunderdog, if you get Thunderdog, we talk a lot about that, because that's a major part of my experience in the World Trade Center. And recognizing that we have to focus on what we can control and not worry about the rest.
That is so very true. And I agree 100%. And at the start of the pandemic, I was doing daily meditations and just some learning for people. And that was one of the first lessons that I was teaching, is to let go of what you can't control. Stop worrying about all the unknowns and focus on what you can control. And when you bring yourself down into that space, again, you can release a lot of external stress.
What final things would you like to say to people? We're going to have to wrap this up, but do you have any final words that you would like people to remember when we end this?
Sure. I would love people to remember the power of their mind and their mindset, and the way that they talk to themselves impacts their outcomes. And to think about how you talk to yourself and ask yourself, if you talk to your best friend that way, would they be your best friend? And if not, start talking to yourself as if you were someone that you love. And as you start to do that, life improves. And the other piece of that that I want people to know is that you can be empowered in your health. And if you're feeling that you're not, then definitely seek out practitioners that will help you get to that place of empowerment.
There's nothing wrong with using coaches. Coaches are to guide and to help teach. They don't solve problems, but they're great teachers.
Exactly. We don't do it for you. We guide.
Well, Melissa Dealey, welcome, or thank you very much for being here, and welcome everyone to Melissa's World. I hope that you've enjoyed this. I really have learned a lot and greatly appreciate the advice and suggestions that you brought us. And I hope that we get to do this again soon.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to share this message and start changing the health of our global community and improving it for the better.
So if people want to reach out to you and learn about the courses that you teach and the programs that you have and how to take advantage of them, how do they do that?
Best place to go is my website, which is yourguidedhealthjourney.com. And people can book a complimentary call with me if they would like to discuss their health goals. They can also find my Discover Your Toxic Load quiz on my website as well and take the quiz, figure out how toxic you are. And don't be shocked if the score is high. It's great to know that because then you know that you can bring it down.
Please say the website one more time.
yourguidedhealthjourney.com.
There you go. Well, Melissa, thanks very much. And I want to thank you for listening to us today. Please give us a 5-star rating. I think that what Melissa brought us in the way of a message deserves that. And I hope you do as well. So we'd love a 5-star rating. We'd love you to reach out and let me know what you think of our episode today and Unstoppable Mindset in general. You can reach me, Michael Hingson, at Michael HIMICHAELHI at accessibe.com. Michael HI at accessibe.com. And you can also reach me and learn more about the Unstoppable Mindset podcast by going to www.michaelhingson.com/podcast. And again, give us a 5-star rating when you do or wherever you get your podcast from. We would certainly appreciate it. So again, Melissa, thanks very much. We really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you for having me. And I look forward to seeing you again soon, Michael.
Well, we'll do it.
You have been listening to the Unstoppable Mindset podcast. Thanks for dropping by. I hope that you'll join us again next week and in future weeks for upcoming episodes. To subscribe to our podcast and to learn about upcoming episodes, please visit www.michaelhingson.com/podcast. Michael Hingson is spelled MichaelHingson. While you're on the site, please use the form there to recommend people who we ought to interview in upcoming editions of the show. And also, we ask you and urge you to invite your friends to join us in the future. If you know of anyone or any organization needing a speaker for an event, please email me at speaker@michaelhingson.com. I appreciate it very much. To learn more about the concept of blinded by fear, please visit www.michaelhingson.com/blinded by fear. And while you're there, feel free to pick up a copy of my free ebook entitled Blinded by Fear. The Unstoppable Mindset podcast is provided by AccessCast, an initiative of Accessibe, and is sponsored by Accessibe. Please visit www.accessibe.com. Accessibe is spelled A-C-C-E-S-S-I-B-E. There you can learn all about how you can make your website inclusive for all persons with disabilities and how you can help make the internet fully inclusive by 2025. Thanks again for listening. Please come back and visit us again next week.